The 12th verse of Psalm 27. I'll teach ne benefesh tzarai, ki kamuvi ere sheker, vifeach chamas. I think there is nothing more frustrating than being accused of something we did not do, big or small. I remember vividly when I was in the Air Force, several bottles of disinfectant spray and bags of ground coffee went missing from a storage closet in my unit. My boss called everyone into his office, individually, to ask about it. I think he supposed that maybe he could read body language to identify the guilty party. It seems like a small thing, but he needed to figure it out because we regularly didn't lock our office doors in our building. I always left money and a backup credit card in my desk, never worrying that someone might take it. If we had a thief, we needed to know because our valuables and personal things could go missing. At a prior assignment, one of my civilian employees left her purse out on her desk during a meeting and returned to find it gone. We eventually found out that it had indeed been stolen, and it was a really big deal. There was a general loss of trust for the entire unit, and as the flight commander, I had to deal not only with the impact to my personnel, but also with reporting it all to the military legal office and ultimate consequences for the person who, we found out, had been stealing for some time. So I understood why I was being questioned, but still, there I stood in my boss's office. He looked me in the eye and asked if I had taken the coffee and disinfectant. My face turned bright red. I'm sure it did because I could feel the blood rushing to my cheeks. I kind of stuttered, and then my answer came out. You know, if I were to steal coffee, I would steal better stuff than Folgers. I don't know if he ever figured out the mystery of the disappearing coffee and disinfectant spray. I actually have always suspected that whoever was supposed to do inventory messed up, or it was moved somewhere else for some reason and lost. Nothing else ended up missing in our office, and over time the issue was forgotten. But what I never have forgotten was how it felt to have someone question my integrity, my honesty, even for such a small thing, even though all of us were asked, even if the stakes were small. Do not subject me to the will of my foes, for false witnesses and unjust accusers have appeared against me. About a year ago, after my daughter spent the weekend with my parents, she came home with a box of items my mom had saved from my childhood. I was overcome with nostalgia as I held each item, as memories flooded back, reminding me of friends I had forgotten, art camp, ballet recitals, marching band trips. And then I saw it, a picture of me at 16. Hair in a ponytail, smile on my face, holding up a fish I had caught. I could see the summer camp in the background, cabins and campfire ring in the distance. The picture did not tell the tale of that summer. I am sure that when my daughter looked at it, she saw a very young, much thinner version of her mom, tanned from months at summer camp, carefree, happy. But that picture was a lie. It represented a brief moment of happiness that served as a reprieve from the summer of hurt, shame, and eventually anger and resentment that I would feel for decades after.
Altitne benefesh sarai ki kamuvi.
It was the summer of 1995, and I had been hired to wash dishes and clean the dining room at my beloved summer camp in northern Michigan. My friends were all still campers, but because I loved it there so much, I had decided to apply to work. The pay was not great, but in my mind, the opportunity for a full summer experience would have been worth doing it for free. Things started out okay, but a couple of weeks into the summer, we had a visit from the camp director's boss. The director of the camp was running around, making sure everything was perfect. He had us line up in the parking lot to greet his boss, trying to make the very best impression possible. The man who emerged from the car was, to my surprise, someone I knew very well, a good friend of my parents. I had known him my entire life and even spent weekends with his family at their cabin on Lake Michigan. He walked over to us, standing there like the household staff of Downton Abbey, and instead of first greeting my boss, the camp director, he embraced me in complete surprise. "I had no idea you were here. How wonderful." He explained to my boss our connections, and then they moved on to his visit of the camp. At that moment, I thought little to nothing of this encounter. Not until much later. But looking back, I see that it was the turning point of my summer. Sometimes we don't understand that when bad things happen to us, it might not really have much to do with us at all. We might be in the wrong place at the wrong time, a victim of circumstance, an innocent bystander who is caught up in violence or mistakenly arrested for walking by a crowd on the street that is being arrested. I felt that summer that it was all about me. Nothing I did was right. I admit that when I first got to the camp, I had visions of a summer of fun alongside various tasks I had been hired to do. But as time went by, I found that I was working around the clock with little breaks. Often, I was punished by being given extra work, while at the same time, my pay was being reduced. Until about 4 weeks into it, I stopped being paid at all. I was being targeted, and I had no idea why. The camp director would call me into his office once or twice a week to chastise me for being lazy or careless with my job, or for sexual behavior with other employees that was against the camp code of ethics. Often the accusations were for mistakes someone else made. For example, I was blamed for burning a large pot of oatmeal. But I washed dishes and mopped the floors. Oatmeal was not my job. Other times, I think they were the result of gossip he may have been trying to dig up about me, such as that I was sleeping around. I felt confused, and I had no idea how to defend myself. When I would try to clarify that what he was saying was about someone else or simply untrue, he would begin to abuse me spiritually, telling me that I was a poor servant of the Lord, that my behavior would impact others and could result in them dying and going to hell. He told me that I needed to repent and that he and God knew what I had been doing. It went on and on like this for weeks, until finally I could bear it no longer and I broke down in his office under one of his counseling sessions. My parents were called and told to come pick me up. I was being fired for neglecting my duties. Not true. I was being fired for having a sexual relationship with a boy at the camp, and I was pregnant. Not true. I was being fired for being chronically late for work. Not true. None of it was true. But I was left so confused, so broken, that I wasn't sure anymore what was true. I was also terrified that he would spread the lies around and people would believe them. When my parents arrived, they spoke briefly with the camp director and then privately sat down and asked me about all of this. As I opened up about what had been going on, I cried, wept in total despair, but finally with people who I knew would believe me. My parents listened, and then finally my mom said, "Well, is that all of it?" She stood up, turned to me, and said, "Get your things. We're going home." We left in the night for a long drive home. I am not sure they even told the camp director I was gone. Do not subject me to the will of my foes, for false witnesses and unjust accusers have appeared against me. A few years later, it all came out. He had been stealing money from the camp, mismanaging funds. I was not the only victim. He was a man who manipulated his employees and even his family in order to get what he wanted. In my case, I believe that my connections to his boss were possibly worrisome to him. He wanted me to get tired and just leave, just quit. But when I didn't do that, and only responded by working harder, he robbed me of my paycheck and ruined my reputation. I am quite sure my hard-earned money went into his pocket. For years, I was angry, and I had a right to be. So when I look at the picture, the me of long ago, smiling into the sun holding a fish, I see a girl who is in the midst of the will of her foe. False witness and unjust accusations have appeared against her. I look back with a sense of awe that at such a young age I managed to come through this and with a lot of wisdom learned. I learned that not everyone is to be trusted. I learned that not everything we hear about people is true. I learned that defamation can damage a person professionally and in the estimation of others, and also personally, emotionally, and spiritually, and that gossip, when something might be true but not necessary to tell others, what we call lashon hara, the evil tongue, while perhaps truthful, can be just as hurtful, in the end not all that different from how devastating the spread of false witness is. I learned also that if others accuse me falsely, I have a right to be angry and to stand up for myself. I have a right to walk away, to draw boundaries in my life, to protect myself from the will of my foes. I learned that it is not ungodly to demand that we are treated fairly and with respect. I learned that spiritual abuse and manipulation is real and must be called out. I learned that even when someone is in a position of power in a religious institution, we have the right to demand that they speak of others with good words, with truth, and we have a right to question their behavior. I learned that there is nothing holy about allowing others to treat us poorly, that allowing abuse in our lives is not a valid form of affliction of the soul, spoken of in Leviticus 23:27. Finally, perhaps most importantly, I learned that when we see another person being treated poorly, being accused of things that seem suspect, or that they are being talked about in language that might be truthful but is harmful, we must demand facts. We must seek justice and truth and kindness and refuse to tolerate anything less.
Altit neni benefesh sarai ki kamuvi ede sheker vifeya hamas ki kamuvi ki kamuvi ki kamuvi.
Ki kamuvi.